there she is. Let's ask her.
Betty, is that Jimmy's ring you're wearing?
Mm-hmm. Gee, it must be great riding with him.
Is he picking you up after school today?
Mm-mm.
By the way, where'd you meet him? We see.
That's when I fell for the leader of the pack. My folks were always putting him down.
Down, down.
They said he came from the wrong side of town.
What do you mean when you say that he came from the wrong side of town?
They told me he was bad.
Sort of smiled and kissed me goodbye. The tears were beginning to show. As he drove away on that rainy night, I begged him to go slow. And whether he heard, I'll never know.
Look out!
I felt so helpless, what could I do?
What's up, dear listeners? I'm your host, Hannah, and you're listening to This Is Not Fine. This Is Not Fine is your healthy dose of rage about culture, media, and society, only on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, broadcasting live from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded land of the Hunkaminim-speaking Musqueam people. At the top of the episode, you heard Leader of the Pack by the Shangri-Las. And there was a hint there about what the topic for today's episode is. And today we're going to be talking about leadership, how to be a better leader, and just redefining leadership in general. So I want to share with you folks what inspired this topic today. This is inspired by Harsha Walia's talk that I attended on Friday. For those of you who don't know, Harsha is an activist and writer based in Vancouver. She's a community organizer and campaigner in migrant justice, anti-capitalism, feminism, and anti-imperialist movements, including No One Is Illegal and Women's Memorial March Committee. Her latest book is called Border and Rule: Global Migration, Capitalism, and the Rise of Racist Nationalism. All the things that we love to talk about, right? And if you haven't, you should grab a copy of her book, and I am really looking forward to reading her book. So in Harsha's talk, she talked about redefining leadership and moving towards a more collective leadership. And what would that look like, you might wonder. She talked about a practice called Leaderful as a new approach to leadership, and it was so enlightening, you guys. I did not know about this concept. And I imagine many of you wouldn't either. So what is leaderful? Leaderful practice is a democratic approach to leadership and serves as an alternative to the traditional trait-based approach of individual leadership. It is an inclusive approach to leadership that acknowledges all those who contribute to improving the overall mission of a community. It is a practice that many people embody together versus a top-down approach where one person exerts power over others. Joseph Raelynn, who is said to be the one who coined the leaderful concept, I want to share a quote by him. So here it goes. Everyone's talent is allowed to shine through and contribute to team goals. People can bring their whole selves to work and feel at home, contributing to the greater good. Yeah, I'm about it, right? It really should be, there should be a sense of community. And I feel like that does get thrown around, but people don't really stop and think about sort of the sense of what community means, what it can look like, and who is it for, most importantly. And the people who you're trying to serve, who you're trying to speak for, fight for, are they present in the room, more importantly? And are they part of the leadership decisions, right? Thinking about when I look at the term leaderful, which again I have been newly introduced to it, I think of glass full. You know, it sort of feels like the same idea of like operating from a glass full perspective. And it's not exactly the same, and maybe I'm trying to like really draw parallels, but like not operating from a scarcity model and operating from a sense of abundance and like we can come together and figure this out. And that is refreshing. That is something we really need to see more of. And versus like the like power trip, right? Of like, oh, like I'm your boss or I'm on the top, and at the end of the day, like I get to call the shots. Is again, like, who is this for? This individualistic aspiration to climb the ladder, which I have begun to really resent that term, right? And another thing that actually there's a lot to talk about here, but before I do that, I want to take a short break, and I want you folks to listen to Jesus Was a Trans Girl by Kitty Prozak. Kitty Prozak actually just had her album release on Friday. Actually the same day as Hershey Volley's talk. And check out her album and her latest song, Jesus Was a Trans Girl. And fun fact, she was actually launched by Fanta Records, which is CIDR's not-profit record label. Very cool. So for those of you who haven't heard, I am playing Jesus Was a Trans Girl by Kitty Prozak.
Jesus was a trans girl, this I know, or the Holy Bible tells me so. She had such long hair and a great big beard, and everyone around her thought that she was weird. Jesus was a communist, this I believe. Because of the wisdom that I did receive, she was popping up bread everywhere she went, and people believed she was heaven sent. Far from it, maybe she was just really clever, or maybe she'll come back. I say better late than never.
Blessed are the peacemakers, she also said, 'cause if you live by the sword, you'll fucking wind up dead. Jesus loved degenerates, on this hill he'll die. All the trannies and queers were the apple of her eye. And to all of us she promised, now it won't be too long, until the last shall be first, and the weak shall be strong. And none shall be afraid. And none shall be afraid. And none shall be afraid. To all you Bible-thumping bastards waving red, white, and blue, better get with the program, thought you already knew. Brown, yeah, your Jesus was a Jew. She hated imperialistic motherfuckers like you. She said her rich man couldn't get to heaven if he tried. Might as well shove a camel through a needle's eye. And if he doesn't like that, he can give away all his shit. 'Cause money doesn't matter when the world's gonna split. Jesus loves the people who were hated and seen as broken. And you would love them too if you believed a single word she'd spoken. This I know, or the Holy Bible tells me so. She had such long hair and a great big beard, and everyone around her thought that she was weird. And Jesus loved degenerates, on this hill will die. All the trannies and queers were the apple of her eye. And to all that she promised, now it won't be too long, until the last shall be first, and the weak shall be strong. And none shall be
oh. There is a drinking water settlement for First Nations, and the claims process is now open. If you are a First Nations member impacted by a long-term drinking water advisory, you may be eligible for compensation. This is the first drop in recognizing those communities impacted. Submit your claim at firstnationsdrinkingwater.ca.
The haunting debut album Black Moon by Civic TV provides a cinematic backdrop, a modern-day symphony of the dark and light that is our collective reality. Take a listen to Black Moon, now available via Flemish Eye Records and on all streaming platforms.
Welcome back. You're listening to This Is Not Fine on CADR 101.9 FM Vancouver. This show is called This Is Not Fine, and I'm your host, Hannah. You just heard Marry Me Archie by Always. And I just found out Always is based in Vancouver, and it's a band out of Vancouver, which is so cool because their music is pretty good. So the topic for today is rethinking leadership and how to be a better leader, how to become a good leader, and we are talking about a new practice, which is called leader. I don't know why I said called instead of called, but it's called Leaderful, which is a more collective and democratic way of leadership where everyone is involved versus a top-down approach. And I'm also talking about Harsha Valia Stock, who's a community organizer based in Vancouver. She's great. Every time I listen her speak, I learn so much from her. And something that she was talking about, something she said when talking about rethinking leadership, and something which really resonated with me, is how we need to move to a more group-centered leadership, but more importantly, leadership that is intersectional and anti-oppressive. Like, that is so crucial. We cannot have good leadership. We cannot have a leadership based on community care if it's not anti-oppressive, if it's not anti-racist, you know? And I just can't emphasize this enough, and people don't understand that we really need to be talking about these things, and more than just talking, actually embodying these things and just really also listening to people, right? Like, actually actively listening to people and communities that are marginalized and what they're saying. And having said that, also realizing that communities that are marginalized have historically been oppressed and erased, and there are stories that have been neglected, discarded. We need to keep in mind their agency and self-determination, and really asking them for suggestions, and more importantly, just passing the microphone to them, creating space for them. Yeah, just so many things, right? And I feel like the more in conversation you are about these things and the more you listen is how you get better. So I was doing some research on Leaderful practice, and I found there are 4 C's to leadership practice. Not leadership, Leaderful practice. And I think they're very interesting and good reminders, and I will share them with you. So the first one is collective leadership, meaning everyone in the organization can serve as a leader. It is not dependent on any one individual to take over. And so I like that sort of empowerment that every person does have what it takes to be a leader, if they would like that, and if they, I don't know, try, I suppose, or are given the space to try, would be a better way to put it. The second thing is concurrent leadership. So not only can many members serve as leaders, but they can do so at the same time. No one, including the supervisor, needs to stand down when others are making a leadership contribution. I thought that was an important distinction in the sense that it's not like the boss is away, there's an interim leader or there are interim leaders. No, it can happen simultaneously. And I think that's the beauty of leadership, leaderful practice. Coming together, group-centered. The third one is collaborative leadership, which makes sense because it's all about collaboration here in the leaderful practice. It means everyone is in control of and can speak for the entire team. All members engage in a mutual dialogue to determine what needs to be done and how to do it. And together, they pitch in to accomplish the work. And the last one, which, you know, leader, any form of leadership or community organizing is just incomplete without this last point, which is compassion and compassionate leadership. And what it means is members commit to preserving the dignity of every single member of the team. And they consider each individual whenever any decision is made or any action taken. And so, I think these are really good reminders that we all could use, and just something that, I don't know, the more I was thinking about this topic, I was thinking of how we never question leadership, right? Like, there have been some great, powerful, very charismatic and just resilient leaders, such as Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, etc. But then there have also been really bad leaders, right? Such, like, so many politicians or, I don't know, people in power, and the sad reality is that power is not questioned, or even if it is, it's just kind of like shush, hush, hush, because they have so much power that you can't really, I don't know, topple them over. Let's go. Yeah, I just had this image of like, overthrow the throne. You know, like, just let's just start a revolution. So as you can tell, I can go on and on about this and how we really need to have conversations of how we can do better as organizers, as workplaces, as organizations, as community, if we just challenge what good leadership, quote unquote, good leadership means. Okay, I think we will leave it. We'll leave this here and continue once we come back from our break. I'm going to play Set the Whale. I'm going to play their song The Ocean off of their latest album, Dandelion. Set the Whale is actually performing in Vancouver on Saturday at the Volk Theatre, and I'll be there listening to music. And now that we're able to do that, and since the, you know, music is happening again, live music is happening again, I am very excited, folks. I just feel like I need to say that and share that and manifest that. Okay, so here's The Ocean by Set the Whale.
We can ride a boat, we can read along, we can take a photograph, float it in a I am not the rule, I'm the exception. Bitches copy notes from me like they was in detention. Open up to chapter 10, get ready for your lesson. I come with a warning, rated all parent discretion. Bitch, I make the dream work like I'm fucking David Geffen. You could call me nails, how I'm on these bitches pressing. Keep your distance like it's COVID born. Niggas to the left, baby, I keep speakers cracked. Bang the shit into your depth, bye. Sink or swim, drown or float. I've been on these niggas' throats like I'm a chain. Motherfuckers think I'm dope, they know my name. Big, tall, bitch, Great Dane, let them know. Sink or swim, drown or float. I've been on these niggas' throats like I'm a chain. Motherfuckers think I'm dope, they know my name. Big, tall, bitch, Great Dane, let them know. Keep these niggas on their toes cause they could use some fitness. I've been on a roll so long that I can tell the difference. Christians think that I'm a witch and witches think I'm Christian. Man, they all be trying to diss me but they yellow like the Simpsons. I'm dripping like I'm pimping, keep these niggas simping. His mission is to grip the hips and dip but I'm not with it. I might hit him in his lip and slip his wallet in my pocket. Dripping red like he's my lipstick, he's a plague and I'm a prophet. My competition fraudulent, my confidence so opulent. Get brain like a neurologist, wanna spread me like a condiment. If he try me, I'm doxing him. Address on a billboard, take away his oxygen, I'm busting in like Fillmore.
And one last thing, baby. That chicken was dry. Real dry.
Sink or swim, drown or float. I've been on these niggas' throats like I'm a chain. Motherfuckers think I'm dope, they know my name. Big, tall, bitch, Great Dane, let them know. Sink or swim, drown or float. I've been on these niggas' throats like I'm a chain. Motherfuckers think I'm dope, they know my name. Big tall bitch, Great Dane, let them know.
Unladylike Ho presents Bad Eggs, a film following the lives of Greek gods Persephone, Hades, and Eve, who've been plucked away from their myths and placed in the modern world. The film is available online from March 16th to 27th, with an in-person premiere on March 13th, 7 p.m. at the Norman Rothstein Theater. Be sure to be there.
Is your mom obsessed with Vicks Vapor Rub?
So is Alice!
Are you too obsessed with Vicks Vapor Rub?
So are we!
Tune in to Viva Poru, el ungüento para el alma, every other Thursday at 4 p.m. here at CITR 101.9 FM.
A radio show dedicated to Latin awesomeness and culture. Hosted by yours truly, the one and only
DJ Bruja. And the other one and only
DJ D-Rod.
Featuring music genres like
salsa, sabrosura vintage, bolero, bossa, Latin indie, plus so much more.
Contains a high amount of llama content. DJ D-Rod and DJ Bruja are not responsible for newly found llama obsession.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to This Is Not Fine. This Is Not Fine is your healthy dose of rage about culture, media, and society, only on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. You just heard Great Dane by Miss Milano. They are a rapper and a hip-hop artist based out of Toronto, and I love their music. I've really been vibing to their music, and I think I spent quite a lot of time last weekend listening to their latest album, Shapeshifter. So going back to our topic about leadership, redefining leadership, new ways of being a leader, and talking about the concept of leaderful, which is a more democratic and a group-centered leadership approach. I also want to share something else that Harsha Walia touched upon in her talk. It is something that it has been happening a lot lately. The rise of EDI initiatives, equity, diversity, and inclusion. The term has been overused, and I'm not going to lie, when I say that I see this term a lot on Twitter, and it does grind my gears because I'm like, is this genuine? I don't know. So yeah, that's precisely what I want to talk about, that in theory, EDI initiatives are well-meaning, coming from a good place, want to really sometimes decolonize, again, reimagine what leadership looks like, what workplaces can look like. But I will say a lot of times these initiatives, quote unquote, can be quite performative and tokenistic, you know. Something that Harsha actually said, which is quite true, that the common narrative and the very neoliberal lens to look at EDI initiatives is that the system must remain the same, but we'll accommodate BIPOC people. And that is tokenistic because, A, nothing is going to change if you're not inclusive and if you're not putting BIPOC folks in positions of leadership, right? Like, it's a no-brainer. But also, sometimes, just because you put a BIPOC person in charge, you can't be like, oh, we've done everything, pat yourselves on the back, yay, we have combated white supremacy. No. The system has not changed. Our social fabric has not changed. And so you're only reproducing the same leadership model, which is rooted in white supremacy, rooted in extraction, rooted in exploitation, and it's just the face have changed, right? So it's really nuanced, and we really have to challenge the entire status quo, the entire system. Another thing that I really want to point out is what is really great about leaderful practice, and something that is really vital when we talk about organization and just running a tight ship, is considering ethics. And leaderful is a more ethical concept. Now, here's what I found, which I think is great. Yeah, just to put it simply. I'll read my little research. While leadership practice has great potential to affect overall morale, there is also an ethical perspective to consider. And what is that ethical perspective? It is allowing people to share in the leadership or of their communities is simply the right thing to do, right? So again, not talking for marginalized communities or communities whose decision ultimately it should be, but actually involving them, having a relationship of reciprocity. And another thing to consider is that it is inherently human to wish to affect the endeavors to which we dedicate our time and commitment, right? That's just human. I don't know why we are so insistent to be detached to our work or just the sort of labor that goes behind it, right? And leadership practice, leaderful practice inspires genuineness among community members, enabling them to bring their whole person to work. And just letting people know that you don't need to fragment your work and your personal selves, which is lovely, right? Like, I wish we saw more of that, and we had more of that to look up to, or as just examples around us, right? Like, it's something that is, I don't know, just a rare, I'll say just a very rare sight, to put it lightly. So I think that was really interesting. Another thing that I want to share is just some final thoughts on leadership practice and what it means to come together, whatever kind of work it is something, again, Harsha Walia said, and oh my god, it's definitely going to be one of my mantras now. She pointed out in her talk, there is no liberation in isolation. We are constellations, not islands, which is so powerful and such a great reminder. She reminded us again of how we need to move beyond diversity and be inclusive. Like, hey, it's not going to cut it anymore, you know? Like, just because you have people of color in your organization, working in your grassroots org, whatever, network, it's not enough, right? We need to see them in positions of power, but also, is the system changing? Is the approach changing? Versus just quick fixes or like putting band-aids on years and decades off. Just having a very colonial approach to things, right? Something that I firmly believe in is the need and the fact that we need to show up for one another. Be it your people, folks you work with, folks you're in community with, it's just really important, something we saw, and just really shows empathy, care, compassion, TLC, and also really unites you in the sense that, hey, like, we're going through this together, it's a mutual struggle. And then that's how things just get better. Something that I was really happy to see such a rise in were mutual aid networks and people really coming through for one another and realizing that our system, how many times have I said system? But our system is just oppressive and racist, and it's just set up for failure and really puts people... put certain disenfranchised communities to a great disadvantage. And one final reminder before I leave you folks. Yeah, actually, I don't know if I didn't mention this, but this is the last segment for today's show. And something that I want to leave you folks with and something I want you folks to just think about is solidarity and what that means and what that looks like, what the practice of solidarity, like being intentional with it, and also remembering that solidarity is a verb and what it can look like, so many different things. Like what I was saying earlier, for me it is showing up for one another through thick and thin. And so just remembering that solidarity is indeed a verb, something we constantly do rather than just an identity. Like, of course, take care of yourself. Burnout is real, especially in emotional work, right? Like things that you're doing that you care about, or just activism, that kind of thing. But And so, yeah, take care of yourself. You need to disconnect sometimes just to recharge. But also just thinking that when we say solidarity, what does that mean? All right, folks, that's it. That's the time we have. I want to leave you with some... how do I say this? You know how there are songs about places? And it just makes me very nostalgic, even if I haven't been to that place. And I want to leave you with those songs because they are like a bowl of warm soup for me. And I find them very comforting and also very sentimental. So I want to play Wreck Beach / Totem Pole by the Zolas, which is another Vancouver-based band. And I want to play Up Granville, very famous street in Vancouver. By Peach Pit. And yeah, like I said, all great places. And I really am here for songs that have cities, streets. There's just something about them. They're charming. So first up is Wreck Beach / Totem Pole by the Zolas. Until next time, take care. Bye.
Circles. It was here I could have sworn. back and through the sunroof, there's the stars. We had our reservations, yeah, we knew something wasn't right. But we drove around the edge of them and went on with our lives. Watching the sun slip out of touch.
Precipice of something. Feels like it.
Laughing at the way when you've had enough. So you tossed it up like skeet and shot it, just to mark up your week with a little candy of blood red. Even at the golden light of morning, leading you away from all this strife, having the time.